Got to be the weirdest way we've ever opened the show. What's up, everybody? It's Dear Albie. This is there's going to be a lot of there's a lot going on here. We are setting the record for by far the most amount of people that have ever been, at least even in sitting in the studio, let alone that we're actually going to have try and talk into a microphone. First here, as always, Jules is here in the building.
Hi guys, I'm back.
And then I'm going to go around for people that you know, and then but really it's only one intro. We've got Urbano here.
Hi.
We've got Bree here.
Hello.
We have Chris here.
Hello.
We have Mike here.
Hey everyone.
And we have, for the very first time, ladies and gentlemen, we have James here.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Oh my god, James fucking throwing radio voice at us, okay? And so James has a nickname around here. We call him Disney because he did spend some time at Disney, worked there. And he looks like Slenderman. It's basically I like to give everybody a little bit of a visual. You know what I'm saying?
Tall and gangly and just put me in a suit.
That's it. It's exactly what we've been doing.
He's about 6'18 tall.
Yeah.
Yep. Just don't ask me if I play basketball.
Yeah. When James first started working, I said, "Oh my god!" You probably get this all the time. Did you play basketball? He goes, "Did you play mini golf?" I was like, "Dude, I'm 5'10." Like,
I was there for that.
He caught me in a bad mood that day.
It was the first one.
Is that a read?
Yeah. Here's the thing, though: when you get that question like 10 times a day, eventually you just have to find a good comeback for it, and that's just one of the best ones that I've had.
All right, James, put the microphone down. All right, so we're gonna jump around. We're gonna do a bunch of things today. So much to discuss. We've got the last day of the hunt. This day is only happening. We've got a very, very this is by far the lightest day of this whole thing we've ever done. Obviously, it's the day after Halloween, and I was actually thinking of just wrapping it up, saying, "Hey, refund everybody that was supposed to come today," and you know, we're all tired. Let's just go home. And James said to me, he was like, "No. We can't." Everybody that walks through that door, we scare the hell out of all of them because everyone's been doing scare acting, and he insisted.
Such a good impression.
Insisted.
Though.
He's so like, subtle. He goes, "No, we go all in one group at a time. Okay, it takes forever, and we all just scare all of them." And everybody was so into it that we're keeping
that
it going.
Just creates the best experience here when you can just walk through and just scare the bejesus out of every single person.
Well, we have this thing. I've been watching James. Okay, have you guys gone on tours with James? Anybody like seen him?
I have.
All right. Have you seen James do the electric chair?
I don't think so.
Okay. James, when he does, so we have this big, gigantic electric chair looking thing that really works, and you know, sparks fly up, and I put it on my story, like a big on switch, the guy screams and everything, right? Now, I am by far in this room, okay? Everybody in this room has taken tours, I believe. I am by far the absolute worst at them. I basically am like, just go in there. Just go in there, right? And then I got behind James in one of them, right? And James goes real, real slow because he drags his back foot like he's a zombie, all right? And then goes, "Welcome to the Pennywise Playhouse." I was like, what? I go in there, I'm like, it's a carnival. Check it out.
You got to sell this shit. That's what it is.
So James goes to the electric chair thing, okay? And I am there, literally. I turn around and I say, "All right, who wants to count to three?" That's what I say. Okay, I'm not, this is not my thing, all right? And again, on this time, James was behind me. So we have this giant dining room scene for you guys that we're not at the haunt, which shame on you. But we have this huge dining room scene with a big curtain that I look behind me and James is there, right? I hear the big curtains from the electric chair swing open, gigantic, like all dramatically, okay? Huge, which takes me two. I have to go one side and then the other side.
Believe it or not, that scares the shit out of people.
Oh, no, I know, I physically can't do it.
You push it open and they're sitting down. They're like, "What's going on?" And if you're fast enough and you can sneak behind the curtain before they get into the room, they lose you and they don't know where you go. And then you just swing it open. They're like, "Oh my god,
this guy's he's into it." So
it's a lot of fun.
James is the only one with the wingspan to be able to open it like that.
That's what I'm saying. You know,
you don't need the wingspan. You just need the force.
No. Yeah, you say that, and then my fingers can barely touch my own shoulders.
So we got it there. So if you guys haven't heard this, can you give the breakdown? James goes like, "What do you think he's done? How do you do it?"
So I get real weird with it and a little creepy, and I just kind of stare into somebody's eyes and go, "Our next victim." What do you think he's done? And I try and get them to give me some kind of answer, and they're all like, "Oh, like he's a murderer, he's not." I'm like, "Yeah, you wish he was. He's done nothing." And then I just flip the switch, and then a lot of them are like, "Oh my god, that's so bad." And other people are laughing. And then towards the end, like, I decided to try a new thing. I would pick somebody in the group, and I'd say, "Come and flip the switch." And as they came up, and I'm like, "Just be careful when you touch it. The box sometimes electrocutes you."
Oh. And same.
So when they go to flip it, they'll push it up, and the second it goes up, I just scream at them. And every once in a while, you get people who just hit the floor thinking that they just got, like, electrocuted. It's so funny. But it's the real sell with it that makes people really get into it.
James, I don't need you to relax, okay?
Yeah, right, calm down. Telling me that.
No, I'm playing around. You do a good job, man. You're good at it.
This really, like, floats his boat. Like,
and I don't – see, like, because I'll tell you what made me think to even bring this up, because I haven't seen Chris DeSanta do it. But I have to imagine, it's like, "Hey, guys, take a seat. It's not real, though. He's okay. It's not an actor.
No. I actually, a lot of the tips and tricks I've learned from James, the naming of the rooms, but with the electric chair, I'd say that he didn't pay his Asbury parking, and that's why he's
nice. Yeah.
Honestly, Chris did the best with the tours.
Thanks,
he had a
Bri.
Story for each room, and everybody loved it.
Thanks, Bri.
He was making tips.
Yeah, I was.
You were making tips.
Did you keep all that cash, or did you pull?
I did try and pull with Bri. Yeah, I did, and Bri told me no. So,
James, did he offer you any cash?
No, no one offered me any money here.
As usual.
There are reasons for that, James. I think, James, you might have some selfish intent with this as well. I think you didn't want to close today because you're just having way too much fun doing this yourself.
Well, I think everybody is right now.
We're definitely having a lot of fun, but I witnessed James become a World War II general and plan an outflank on some of our beloved customers where he had, I think, Bri, you were there as well, us sprint around the kitchen through our haunted kitchen on the second floor, run through, and literally outflank these people who were not into it at all.
We surrounded them.
We chased them, and then we sprinted away.
And they were impossible to scare. They were impossible.
And it didn't work. And James was—I've never seen more defeat on James' face than I did after that group.
James was like, "We might as well just close the whole entire thing."
Oh no, because here's the thing: it was the last group of the night. We were really wanting to see how we could scare them different. And believe it or not, Al, I think this is your idea
to
start. It
was my idea, yeah.
Like, just try and surround them at once and then just disperse.
I knew we were in a lot of trouble when that happened. I was like, "I'm going to clap and everybody run." Like, and I was like, really? And I grabbed their bono. I was like, "No, let's get in." Because everyone was having so much fun. It was like on a Tuesday. I'm like, "All right, when they get here," and it was like they were late, right? We were all just waiting around. That was the first thing, the anticipation of them showing up. Then they get there, and I said, "Everyone surround them." And when I clap, just run. So I clap, everybody runs, and I'm like, "Oh shit, we got a problem." No reaction whatsoever. These guys just looked at us like, what is wrong with you? You know what I mean?
Well, the thing is, I think we got so excited because the group before them was fantastic.
Yeah.
We were a crew to behold. Everybody was just nailing every single scare room. No, they weren't gonna make it out alive. It was done perfectly. I think we tried a little bit too hard on this last one.
It was the
wrong kind of group.
I will say, and we're going to get into the actual show for everybody that's listening at home that was not here, that's like feels maybe they're on the outside of an inside joke. The good news is we have tape of all of this, and we'll put it on the Dear Albie Instagram, especially Mike's scream. Yeah. This is where I was trying to go. Because Mike's by far the best. Mike has been wearing a monkey mask. Yeah. And screaming the most blood-curdling, you don't know if he is a girl or a guy scream I have ever heard in my entire life.
While flinging open curtains and screaming on like elevated windowsill.
Yeah.
I have zero idea how that voice came out of me. I'm still trying to figure it out.
And you're not hoarse. Like it hasn't like affected your speaking voice.
Yeah, you're not.
No, well, like I felt my voice going, like starting to go every scream that I would do, which is about 50 an hour. But yeah, I don't know, like the next day, like my voice would be fine. I think it's all these Kalos that I'm drinking. Shout out to Kalo.
So outside of that, Jules has been here the entire weekend. is the she's had her first real weekend of work here. Yes. Did you enjoy yourself, Jules?
I loved it. I always have a great time here. I mean, last weekend was great, but it was a lot of fun. I was telling you, it was nice to be down the beach and working. I've been home like not doing much since then. There's, you know, it's fun to just be around people too, like my age. Mm-hmm. But yeah, having a great time.
So we have with you guys all here. We did want to share it. We have reviews, correct? I haven't seen them.
Yes.
So do you want to get into that real quick before we get into some questions? Because, yeah, you know, and they have, we have our favorite kind of reviews because they're reviews on you guys personally as individuals.
Oh, nice. We got a lot of good Urbano. Yes. You're killing it. Oh. You are killing it. Well, our first review from last week was love Urbano, Chris Angel, Jules, and you too, Al. So I'm sorry, Mike. You didn't get the cut.
We have one. Oh, yeah. It says it's gigantic. It says keep Urbano. Mm-hmm. Gigantic. Aww.
I love Urbano as an addition to the podcast. He's hilarious, compassionate, and has a great aura. Oh.
And thighs.
Urbano, are you going in there? I didn't see this. Are you...
Urbano's making fake accounts.
Yeah,
yeah,
saying,
are you making the account?
This is crazy. Yeah. Look at this.
What does it say? I can't see. I have my glasses.
I love Urbano.
Loved
Urbano.
Well, I mean, look, we're sitting here, like, actually reading, like, people aren't listening to this right now. Anyway, all right, we're going to get into this. We got a couple of fun ones, I suppose. And then Mike, yeah, man. You know what it is? They got to see Mike.
Yeah.
They do.
They got to see him. When everybody sees him, and they, every time there's a knock on the door, right, there's two thoughts that immediately go into Urbano's head when he hears a noise at the Berkeley late at night while he's sleeping, okay?
It's a ghost, or I hope it's Mike.
Yeah, that's it. That's basically all of it, all that he says. Anyway.
One of the perks that we have of working at the hotels, we usually get a free room for the night. Bree and Chris are usually my bunk mates, but Ari, the GM of the hotel, always tells the same lovely joke every single time I work here, and that's, I'll only give you the free room if you sleep with Urbano's room.
And Urbano just looks at him all serious, like, yeah.
Thank you, Ari.
Anyway.
Ari is the best. We're going to have him on, too.
No, he'd be like, what's up, dude? Everybody here, you know, it's going over everybody's head, but we will have Ari on. All right, we're going to get into our first question. We have an actual real question. Jules, when was the last time I asked a real question on this show?
It's been a while. I mean, Al, I'm always telling Al, we got to record. So it's been a long time. I was telling him today, I'm like, we got to get more episodes out. If I come down, guys, the community misses us. I get so many DMs. They're like, when are you coming back?
They're cracking the whip.
Yep.
And Jules is cracking the whip back. So here we go. Dear Albie. Hey guys, love the podcast, and any advice would be appreciated. For years, I have always dreamt of having a career at this one particular company, and because of my contract, I can't say what it is. Recently, I got hired there, and it has been a living hell. The interview was very misleading, and this position isn't at all what I thought it would be. I'm working significantly more hours than I'm supposed to be, and the favoritism and lack of organization makes going to work unbearable. If it were any other job, I would have left after the first day based on the complete disrespect for the employees, but I'm having trouble coming to the realization that my dream job is not at all as perfect as I hoped it would be. I don't consider myself a quitter by any means, which makes this decision even harder, but there is no room for growth in this company. Have you ever been in a similar position, and what would you do if you were me? From disgruntled employee. Which one of you guys wrote this?
No, but I can say I think I've experienced something like this before. I think the first thing I would say is just keep moving forward and actually don't lose sight of who you are and what you really want to do and what your dream is. Because every once in a while, you'll always falter with what you want in your job and you might not get exactly what you're looking for. But if you really keep looking, it will come, and you got to keep a positive attitude.
James, I don't need you to calm down.
No, because this is a serious question, though.
I'm very angry.
You can't calm down about this.
I need you to dial it back. I need you to calm down, okay?
Bree wants to speak, I think.
I'm playing. That was a good answer, James. Go on.
But I think it's important to always know your worth and never sacrifice your worth as a worker for your dream job, because it sounds like your dream job may not be your dream job.
Yeah, I was going to say, if he or she feels as if they've exhausted every opportunity they have within the company and they they've gotten what they needed to get from it, then, you know, sometimes doors close and the road ends, and they should be just as happy to be there as the company is to have them working there.
All right.
There we go.
It really depends, because I've worked in dream situations, and then there's the reality of, oh, shit, I really work in this environment, and what I expected or thought is make-believe. And so you have to deal within the parameters of where you're at and understand why you're there. So if you're there to be successful, if you're there to grow, you got to give yourself a little bit of time to step away from the dream, step away from the fantasy, and walk into the reality with, what skill set did I come here hoping to develop, or hoping to nurture, hoping to exploit? And if you understand why you're there and what you're there for, make it work. If it's disorganized, how do you get into it? How do you step back from the judgment and go with the flow and figure out how you could be the most successful you can be in that environment?
That's great advice.
Thanks, Joyce.
This is some campfire shit. What the hell is going on here?
I was in a similar situation with an internship. I thought I was going to turn into a bigger before.
Jesus.
No! Oh, no! Last internship, the one before this, I thought it was going to turn into something, and, you know, it was unorganized. It really added, like, the environment, but I knew that I needed to step away, and like Bree said, you need to know your worth, absolutely. And look, like, it led me to, I met Albie, and now I got this. So you just, yeah, don't be afraid to take chances, but at the same time, yeah, know your worth and know what you want.
I think it's also very okay to, you're not, the term quitting, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we find ourselves doing this in regular relationships as well as jobs. If something isn't making you happy and there's something better out there for you and it's not rising to the level of what you want and you leave it, that's not quitting. That's you looking at something and being like, look, I want to get out of here because I want something better for myself. That's kind of having self-respect and all that other stuff. It's not, oh, like, it's almost like a form of, I would say, this mental manipulation that happens, and where you convince yourself to stick out with something that isn't serving you longer than you have to, over the idea of your worth is less if you leave something. And that's not always true. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's more. What James is like, I've never seen somebody take
James,
a struggle to take a shirt off. James, please do not disrobe, James. Do not disrobe. There are ladies present. Please do not disrobe, okay? I'm going to need you to calm down, all right? I'm going to need you to relax.
That's my ivory soap.
No, but I think that's true. I don't think it's quitting, you know.
I agree with what you're saying, Al. But I think one thing that's wrong with the generation that we are in, and I'm not sure the age of who asked the question, but we want that CEO title. We want that instant gratification immediately. And my parents and, like, our parents and the older generation knew that you had to grind and you had to do the crappy parts of the job before you get that gratification, before you get to take control. So I would say, if you feel like this, the realm that you're in, right, like the sector that you're in is what you really love and you still love that, but you just hate the position, then you can move within the company or just grind it out if you see that somebody that's in a higher position is something that you want to do. Because sometimes you just have to put in the groundwork to get there. But at the same time, if it does suck that much, and it's just, sometimes you think wrong. Like, sometimes you think that something was a dream job and it actually turns out now and there's something else for you. So it's two ways to look at it.
A lot of ways to look at it. Now, like, I'm going to take a break from this wisdom right now. I think we got it. You know, we handled this one. All right. So I'm not quitting on the question, but I want to get into this real quick in the time we have left. Are we familiar with now Urbana was here when this question was asked. This we have what is called the chime. Okay, when somebody chimes in and gives more color to a question that was asked on a past show. But are you guys familiar with the term flirtationship, what that is? No. I thought that was like a thing. So I'm not crazy.
No, apparently it is a thing.
Okay.
And the first time we heard it was on the show.
So how do we describe flirtationship? And do you want to give everybody, if you remember, Jules, a little bit of background on the first question before I read the chime? Because Urbano asked for pictures and we got them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm going to get into this. It's kind of, we have more color to the flirtationship question. Do you remember what the first question kind of was?
She wrote in a story how her and this guy, they were at the brownstone, the wedding, and didn't she hook up with her friend?
She left the date to go and sit in a different guy's room and then didn't hook up with him and went back because she, you know, it was like a whole thing. I don't know.
She was feeling fishy.
Oh, now I get it. That took me a second. Anyway, she was feeling the type of way about it, and it was like they kept passing like two ships in the wind.
And then one semester, and then another semester.
Yeah.
And then there was another semester. And
oh
then she
yes.
Told him, and then he was drunk, and then he had a girlfriend.
Anyway, so we got a little bit of a chime. Let's see. She goes, love Albion Urbano, but I think these questions need a more female perspective. So we got Jules, we got Brie. Mm-hmm. All right, so we already chimed in on this whole thing. All right. So ladies, you can jump in on this now too. All right. It was great to hear your advice so fast. I hesitated for a while to send this email, but it was the talking to I needed. The only part that was really embarrassing was hearing all my typos read aloud. I do that.
That's amazing.
This chime has some clarifications as well for some additional questions. To make things easier to read, I have added pseudonyms for the guys, and you can call me Lola.
Love the name.
First, the timeline of this relationship goes back about 4 years. Guys, this is long. Like this is gonna be funny. Harry Star. How do you think she came up with these names? No, the star is an asterisk. But anyway, Harry and I worked together for a volunteer org on campus. And my school was so small, so we shared a lot of friends. I went to the party, a frat formal, with George, also starred. Harry, George, is it the Beatles?
Yeah. No.
I see Ringo in this, so I'm going to lose my mind. I went to a party, a frat formal, with George, who I'm pretty sure asked me as a friend. Harry went alone on purpose. Even as friends, George paid for my ticket and my room, which made me feel guilty for hooking up with Harry. At 19, this would have been my first time, and I was worried the moment would be sullied with guilt and lack of proper protection. I'm actually a pretty modern woman, but there is an old-fashioned side to me that wants my first time to be more intimate than a hookup. This is why, if the situation had been different, had he asked me to the formal, or if intentions were clearer, I would have been willing to go forward. That is, I'll tell you what, that's a mega chime. And she should have probably, I mean, look, that's a pretty big detail, but that is like, you know, and she used the word sullied. And that's that is a proper use of the term sullied. You know, anyway, during that summer, here we go. During that summer, I hooked up with Fred Star. Fred Star too. A friend from high school, who I likely would have gone through with it, during that summer I hooked up with Fred, a friend from high school, who I likely would have gone through with if we had proper protection. So she hooked up, she didn't hook up. No. What does the word hook up mean?
Dry hump.
Do the young kids do that? No, I think I'm going to be honest. I think everybody has their own definition of the word hookup, and it can be taken in so many different ways. So it's more. Let's just see how she describes
James,
it.
James, I'm going to need you to calm down a little bit, okay? Who I likely would have gone through if we had proper protection. While he was respectful that night, he can't even hold a conversation with me anymore, which has only made me feel awkward and guilty for turning him down that night. My sophomore year, I went to formal with Sean, a frat brother of Harry and George. We dated on and off through the summer and fall. But once we were about to get serious, I was set to move to Orlando for my DCP, another relationship that ended for a professional opportunity. That spring was when Harry finally asked me out. If the dance had been a week later, I could have gone, but there wasn't no way for me to leave my internship early without tarnishing my reputation within the company. Sullied and tarnished in the same email. I can't help but feel if we had gone to that dance, it could have led to a real relationship. On the trip where I got drunk, really doesn't happen a lot, but when it does, my hands go straight to my phone. I was with Fred and a mutual friend, Matt, who I nearly hooked up with. On reflection, I think Harry got attacked with anger for all four guys and even myself. Now I am 22 and done with college. I lost my dream job to COVID, and dating prospects are on pause. It's becoming hard to look forward to these goals I set when the future is so uncertain. While I would not trade my other opportunities for the world, I can't help but miss the ones I didn't have. Was I wrong for sticking to my... Here we go, girls. Was I wrong for sticking to my guns in regard to virginity? Would the right guy have been willing to put more work in it to get to that point? I keep telling myself that it's something that will come when the time is right, but now I can't help but feeling like time is passing and I'm standing still. P.S. Here's photos for reference. And two of my best... She says title pics. Nice. I think she meant titty pic. Okay? But it says... here are my best tittle pics. Maybe she meant tittle?
Tittles. Yeah, she said sully.
Covered for Urbano. Please don't share unless you know a 20-something who might be interested. While I wouldn't say I'm ugly, I'm not the conventional... This is sad. No, you, girl, you got to feel yourself a little bit. She goes, well, I wouldn't say that I'm ugly. I'm not the conventional beauty where I expect that to be enough to get guys to talk to me. That, I don't like that. Harry and Lola. No. I mean, we have things. Harry and Lola. Tittles? George and Lola. Sean and Lola. For Urbano. Those are the titles of the pictures, okay? Yeah. And she's got to feel herself a little bit more. I don't like that. You know, talking down herself like that. Come on.
Oh, come on, Lola.
Lola.
First off, Lola, stay away from all the stars. Harry star, Fred star.
No, did you go down?
You can't just have sex
with
brothers.
No, you go down. They got all the guys are here.
Oh, Harry, Fred.
George. This one's...
We're scrolling.
That one's her.
Oh, look at you.
And the last two are for Urbano.
Oh.
She did a beach photo shoot.
Big old biddies. I see.
All right, so first question, all right? Brie, yeah. Do you want a female perspective, okay?
Yes.
Was she wrong sticking to her guns in regard to virginity? Brie?
Absolutely not. That is something that anyone will do when it's their time, when they think it's right for them. And I don't think that the dance really had anything to do with it. It's I think the right guy will definitely do whatever he wants to do. Like, I'm trying to put this in perspective. The right guy will, if he wants to be with you, he's going to be with you. Like, no questions asked. And don't feel like you're standing still in life. I mean, it's something that happens in time and with the right person. So just be you and be confident. I'm telling you, the confidence is going to be what brings all those men right to you. They're all going to be lying enough.
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
Yeah, she embrace should, yourself.
She shouldn't, like, look back, too. Like, things happen for a reason. And the more you look back, you're just going to, I don't know, bad vibes and everything, but definitely be confident and it will come.
Yeah.
What are you saying?
No, like, you don't want your, and also, like, you know, when you look back at it, right, you don't want necessarily your first time to be like, you know, here's a roadside motel type shit, and the guy was like, and while my date was downstairs, you don't want that.
No, not at all.
Sometimes, all right, Lola, we have to talk. Sometimes it's, you got to get it over with. Right? Like, eventually you're just gonna have to do it.
Not at 19.
She's 22 and she has to be. She can't put the pressure on top of the expectation. If you're in control of your body and you're in the moment and you feel comfortable whether you know their last name or not, sometimes you have to take that risk. Right? And B, Lola, you also have to kind of spend some time doing all that with yourself.
Well, like, I have a question for you real quick. Not to interrupt but lightning bolted me now. Okay. Yes. You had hooked up with girls your entire life.
Yes.
And then at a certain point, you know, you switch to guys, right?
Yes.
Now at that point, it's, do you consider yourself when you switch over?
Yes.
Are you a virgin again?
Yeah.
Like, do you look at it like?
Yeah, you. I. It's in your. It, yeah, it was, it's completely different.
Like, so you're at that point, you're just like, it's like you're the new belle at the ball.
Yeah, and I had a friend tell me, girl, you're not that cute.
Wow.
And you're not that young.
Wow.
And no one wants a 42-year-old oochin and ouchin. And I was like, all right.
What is that? What does that even mean? I don't want to know. Actually, never mind. There is no follow-up to that question. Okay, so that was, you know, all right. Well, beyond that, okay, the second thing. She said, would the right guy have been willing to put more work in to get to that point? I mean, I guess it's really the extension of the same question. I mean, I think, yeah, But I mean, it's really up to you, the right person and the right situation and all that. You kind of define that. When you make the decision, you're the one that's just got to live with it. So right's really defined by you, not what other people are, you know, thinking. It's kind of is what it is.
And it sounds like they're all, she was kind of friends with all of them. So they might not know what boundaries to cross, especially if they know that she's very close with all of these other frat boys in the community. Yeah.
And that, like, I don't know, don't really get involved with friends.
Yes, you don't want to be a homie hopper ever.
Because they all talk. They do. And then talk. you don't want your business around the group because then it just makes everything awkward.
And is that Disney internship? Is that the Disney internship?
Yeah, no, when she said DCP, she was talking about the Disney College Program. Yeah.
So you know, you don't want to mess that one up, right?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say that stuff like that doesn't happen in DCPs. Stuff goes around pretty fast. Especially if you're living in any of those housing complexes. Well, she didn't.
I'm not talking about the love nest that is apparently the DCP. But no, she's saying that she didn't hook up with this one guy because she didn't want to screw up the internship. So is the Disney College Program
ain't no dick worth leaving nothing early for that you agreed to participate in? If you sign up for something and you gave your word and you said I'm going to do this and this is the time frame I'm going to do it within, and then a hard-on comes up and then you drop it, it's like, well, no.
But no, so what you're doing, though, like, in terms of, like, risking the DCP for that, I don't necessarily think you really have to worry about that, because from a lot of the friends that I had down there, I have a lot of friends who were in the college program who had relationships not directly with their bosses, but people who were in leadership roles. And you can't necessarily just say that stuff like that doesn't happen, because you can go anywhere and you never know when you're going to find that one person that you want. And it could be in not necessarily a politically correct position, like in a company. Like
ShopRite parking lot.
Exactly. ShopRite parking lot. But
Blockbuster.
but you really never do know. And sometimes it can be awkward, but you just kind of have to phase that one awkwardness out and just let it happen the way you think is right. And if you think it's right and they think it's right, then nobody else should be able to tell you anything otherwise.
James dropping these pearls of wisdom today. And he can scare you guys. He's got it all.
Tony Bobbins Apple.
Were either of you guys in frats? I was going to say, Mike's like he was, so I we had no frats at my school at all. No frats, no sororities.
Neither did mine.
Yeah. No, so I liked it better that way. But I mean, Mike, you know, you got the frat boy look, man. You do.
That's not something I like to hear.
No. Oh. No, you got that vibe to you, man. Like you're he's got the stud thing going. That's what he's got.
Well,
did you enjoy it? Was it good?
I did very much. So my freshman year I went to the University of Scranton. I played D3 lacrosse there. Didn't love it. I loved lacrosse, playing, my friends there, but I knew there was like a bigger school, better school that I wanted, so I transferred to Syracuse. I was in Sigma Chi at Syracuse. So to Lola, both Chris and I looked at you. You're a beautiful girl.
Yes, very much so.
Have your confidence. Stop thinking so much. Just like, you know, I know this is obviously a very important thing to you. You want it to be special, and I respect that, and that should be, and you should live up to your expectations. But damn, that was a big paragraph. Yeah. That was an essay. There's a lot of history.
That sums up Mike right there. Okay.
You hit him. Up the reaction of all the guys.
Too. Well, you know what it is. You hit Mike with a page. He'll say three words. She's naked right now. Like when she hears that shit. All the girls are like, there's a page of what should I do? What should I do? Mike's like, stop thinking so much. They're like, you're right. That's it.
Everyone's got to stop thinking so much. And I mean,
do more, think less.
Exactly. And Jules is 100% right. Guys, we'll be talking in the groups.
Yes.
For a certain, not necessarily like a negative thing, but probably. You don't want to be sleeping with all the same frat brothers.
Probably not a good look.
Probably not the best look.
No. I'm down.
You don't want to be a founding father. If you had... there's a certain amount of founding fathers in each, like, fraternity. And if you have sex with that many people in the frat, then you become a founding father.
I have never heard of that, Bri, truthfully.
Well, Sigma Chi at the University of Tampa taught me that.
Oh my God.
Your brothers taught me that. I'm not a founding father. That's not what I'm saying. Side note, not a founding father.
Bri, did you just out yourself?
No, I'm not a founding father.
Okay, well, I think that's a... We'll call it a day on that. No, you guys are awesome. Thank you all for coming. Look, have some confidence. Do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. You make the rules in your life, whether it's quitting a job or, you know.
Don't overthink.
Dating no one. Dating all the frats. I don't know. Just make your own.
Let me say one more thing. And always do your best. Mm. If you're in the job and you don't do your best, do your best. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. If you're with someone and you tried your hardest and you did your best and it doesn't work, you move on. But as long as you tried your best and did your best, you'll be all right.
And just be who you are. Because you know what? You might not always find that dream job.
I need you to relax, okay?
You know what? No. Because no, this is some real shit right here. You gotta think about this. Because if you want to be the person that you really see yourself as, and that is where you'll go in life. It's something that I grew up with called the law of attraction. If you think
are we talking about sex, Mike?
It is so much further than that, though.
Giving your all, I guess, with everything, I suppose. But yeah, the job and like give your all in all of the sex. I don't know.
Just believe good things will come.
Just try everything once and do everything twice.
Well, it was a good one. We had fun today. Love you all very much. And love the community as well.
I'm so hungover.
Yes.
I'm so hungover.
We gotta go.
I'm so quiet.
Catch you guys later.
Bye.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.